Thank you for joining this Finance Workshop podcast on budgeting and debt management. I want to give a couple of disclaimers to those of you listening to the podcast. This was originally an interactive workshop, so bear with us a little. You should still find it helpful, but to get more out of the experience, you'll want to first download the documents that go along with this podcast. In addition, I want to make sure everyone hears the heart of our finance ministry. In a minute, you're going to hear a lot of great details on budgeting and debt management, but most importantly, we want people to really begin to look at their personal finances as a part of their spiritual lives. We feel that being on a budget is primarily to make sure we are stewarding the resources that God has entrusted to us. No matter what your financial circumstance, we encourage everyone to pray and evaluate where they feel God leading them. With that said, we hope you find this information helpful, and if you'd like to meet with someone on our finance team, we'd be happy to set that up.
My name's Nick. I just broke that, so we'll deal with that right there. Thank you guys for being here. I'm going to hop right into it because we only have so much time, just kind of echoing what she was saying. My passion for finance comes a lot more from right out of college, but it's getting to be 8 years now. I'm old now. I just hit the big 3-0. So 8 years ago, as I hopped right into the financial field, did mortgage, loans, credit card. My job for a while was to get people into debt. And quickly, I kind of started taking the big picture of, this is a problem, you know. And one of the reasons I started actually succeeding most at my job is because I was starting to then coach people how to get out of debt, sometimes without even using our loans, and getting a bigger picture of, hey, it's not bigger than me hitting my sales goals is doing what's right for the customer. Sometimes a loan could be appropriate, and a lot of times it wasn't. And I actually got the right kind of business, and I started getting customers that were happy, employees that were happy, people getting promoted. I love my job a lot more, and just day after day seeing people who, doctors even, they were living paycheck to paycheck, 150 grand a year, living paycheck to paycheck. And I just, seeing people's credit and everything really gave me this passion to, man, the answers are so simple. You know, it doesn't mean that it's easy. It's hard work, but the answers are simple if you're willing just to do a little bit of legwork on how to get debt-free if you're in debt. And if you're not, or if you're already debt-free, then what to do with your money to start building up for your future. So that's where my passion comes from. If you notice on your handout, you'll have kind of a PowerPoint slide. We're just going to real quickly go through some of that stuff. My computer turned off. Is there anything it's a Mac, so maybe it takes a, you don't know how to get the thing to turn back on? You say that, but it's not on, so. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So anyways, to encourage some of you guys, maybe you're sitting here going, well, I don't have debt. That's fine. I put money on, you probably know somebody who does have some debt, and they feel that constant pressure of, well, should I go bankrupt? I literally had someone call me up. They couldn't pay back a loan back when I was working in my line of work, and they had like $2,500 in credit cards, $2,500. Like, I think I'm going to have to file for bankruptcy. I'm like, who told you that? Well, my lawyer said, I'm like, why are you talking to a lawyer about $2,500? You know, they don't know. They're only told what people tell them to do. And I don't stand to benefit anything from this. I want to show you resources, math. I mean, it's all basic math, how you can get out of debt yourself. A lawyer stands to make money. That's not to say all lawyers are bad or anything like that. Credit consumer counselors, if you've heard of these, we don't make money. No one works for free. Okay, there's a person answering the phone talking for 8 hours a day. Guess what they're going to get at the end of the month? A paycheck. Guess who they're going to get it from? You. Okay, if you're on credit consumer counseling, there is a cost to it. It does affect negatively your credit. And I'd love to go into detail if you have questions about that stuff. I'm just kind of telling you where my specialty kind of lies, with maybe even how to handle credit consumer counselors, bankruptcy situations. There is a time and place for that, but I can't cover all the little things here and there. What I do want to show you is I personally believe 99 times out of 100, most times you can handle it yourself through either getting a loan, but we're going to set that off to the side, or I think more times than not, something called the snowball effect. And how does that look? We're going to be taking a look at a couple quick resources. If you flip to your pages here, it's misspelled, fix it. whatsthecost.com. That's your first little stay awake moment right there. What's the cost? I don't know who put that on there. It's probably a Mac computer or something. So, whatsthecost.com. Real cool little website. A guy put it together. It's all basic math. A lot of people think finance is like this big thing. No, it's math. Okay, it's just maybe math you haven't done very much. I'm going to go through a quick scenario with you on a person who has maybe just 5 credit cards. Now, I've had people in my like profession when I was doing it for a living come up to me, I kid you not, 40, 50 credit cards. I had a gentleman at $200,000 in credit cards, free and clear home. And I was like, that's cool, I guess. And he's like, don't worry, I'll just file bankruptcy if I need to. I'm like, that's, as believers especially, my personal conviction and opinion is that is not being financially responsible or being a good steward with the gifts God has given you. There is a way you can take care of this kind of stuff. We're going to go through a quick scenario. I ask you that you follow along. The paper here is more for you to kind of, when you do go to the website, go, yeah, I do kind of remember this. And if you can't see the TV, I know it might be kind of hard to see your paper, but just take notes and briefly follow along. We're going to go through one particular family or person. We'll say this person has 5 debts. Hopefully you can see the computer. When you get to the website, over on the far left on whatsthecost.com, you see a little button called snowballing. What snowballing means is you take care of one debt, then take whatever you're paying to that credit card and start paying another debt. And if you're anything like me, if growing up, you know, mom said something like, hey, you know what, I want you to keep doing chores. And I come back, what do I got to do? Do more chores. What do I got to do? Do more chores. And I'm like, look, I don't care if I have to do chores all day long. I want to know when I'm done. Give me a light at the end of the tunnel. Give me hope, right? It's none of this, you do chores till I tell you you're done. You feel that way about your debt sometimes, or at least people do, and they feel like, well, if there's no hope, bankruptcy, credit consumer counseling, right? There is hope, and sometimes all you need is that light at the end of the tunnel. That's what this this website will help you with, and there's lots of them. This is just one that's pretty quick and simple. So real quick, we're going to walk through a quick how to use. You put in 5 credit cards. Maybe you got 3 or 20, okay? Right now, in this box, I don't know if you can see it, the 330 on there, you'll take, that's how much you're paying on those 5 debts right now. This is if your budget is so tight, you can't scrounge up any money. Right now, on these 5 credit cards, I'm paying $330 a month. How long will it be before I pay it off? Or else I'm going to go nuts. I just need to know. So the 5 debts we're taking a look at are Visa. We're saying a balance of about $3,250, and you can follow along on your things or follow on the on your paper or follow along on the TV here. Typical credit card, maybe 15.99%. On this program, you can even add things like the introductory rate of 0 for how many months. Chances are, if you're in a lot of debt, you don't have a lot of these type of credit cards. But it's there. If you have a minimum fixed monthly payment, maybe on a credit card, it's just $30 every month, no matter what the balance is. It's usually not the case. The average balance or the average payment on a credit card is about 2.5%. So I put that in as a default. It's about 2.5% of the balance. Okay, so if you have a $1,000 credit card, $25. That's kind of a simple little way. If you have, and you can just do the math from there. So I put in 2.5% for all of these because it's pretty standard. So you got your Visa. You got your MasterCard, debt number 2, $1,500 at 12.5%. Again, the payment is 2.5% of the balance. Discover, you notice a little thing I wanted to throw in there, the 29.99%. It's interesting. I would get fairly familiar with the credit cards out there. It will always frustrate me when customers will call me up and say, I have this credit card, Discover, or this or that. Now, I'm not knocking Discover. Okay, I'm just telling you what is legal out there. You can sign up for this credit card at 9.99%. And then they can jack your rate up to 29.99. And at first I always said, why would you sign up for a credit card like that? Well, I didn't. They jacked it up. I said, well, were you ever late? They said, no. And I went and I looked on their credit. Sure enough, they weren't late. But you know what credit card companies are allowed to do? And traditionally, track record speaking, Discover does quite a bit, is they're allowed to just randomly check your credit from time to time. And if you're late or have a lot of debt with other companies, they say, well, you're a risk to us now, 29.99. And they can do that legally. It's in the fine print that you throw away after you sign the signature on the credit card. So Discover I put on there, 29.99, because it happens a lot, $4,500. Lane Bryant, you ladies out there, I don't even know what Lane Bryant is, but I would see that almost every single day, some kind of shoe or clothing store, $950. Maybe you guys too. I don't know. 21.99. That's one of the standard credit card rates. And then Target, $3,000, 18%. 18% is, if you don't know your credit card, if you're just going to go in and try and figure this out, 18% is usually a pretty safe number, 18 to 21% for most department store cards. Okay, I encourage you to make this as accurate as possible, but if you're just fiddling around, 18 to 21% is a good kind of number. And again, sorry, I know I need to be doing better at telling you what page we're on. Thank you for flipping and reminding me. I can kind of hear you. We're on that second page now. After you put all these in, you'll hit the calculate button that you'll see on your sheets. I like this program because it'll break it down for you. Again, this is if you can't scrounge up any extra money. You're going to do $330 on these five credit cards. Breaks it down nice for you. If you read along or follow along here, it says it will take you 68 months, five years and eight months, to pay off these debts if you snowball correctly. During that time, you'll pay $8,914 in interest. Okay? And if you notice the bold thing down below, it'll cost you an additional $2,200 in interest if you didn't do it appropriately. Some people like to pay the debts that have the biggest payment first. That sometimes makes you feel good because you'll see like the Discover go away quick, or you'll see something go away with a big payment, but that you run the risk of paying more in interest. So if you stick to this plan right here, you'll save, or it'll tell you you're going to pay about $8,900 in interest. Scroll down, and I know you won't be able to see the whole thing, but it'll give you a chart. On your computer, if you're not zoomed in 100 times like we are here, you'll see this whole chart broken down that'll actually show you how long it'll take you to pay off. For example, the Discover card, it wants to pay off first because it has the highest rate, 29.99. It'll take the payment, which is $112.50, at the beginning. Now, you'll notice that the next month, it says $114.92. Why is it paying more on this credit card? Because as the payment goes down, what also goes down? I'm sorry, as the balance goes down, I just gave you the answer. What also goes down? The payment. Most people tend to pay the minimum payment. That's big rule number one. Find out what you're paying. If you can afford it this month, next month, you can afford it too. Keep paying it, and an extra $2 goes onto the principal. Then you'll notice 117, 119. It constantly goes up, and then it tells you if this is March of 2008 right now. You scroll down, you'll notice that by May of 2012, that'll be paid off. Keep in mind this is a five-year plan, but at least I have a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, this is if life never gets better, you never get a raise in 5 years, you know what I mean, and you stick with this. That's not the goal here. This is just our starting point. Now, following along on your papers, we say, okay, great. We go through our budget with Clay, which he's going to be doing here in a few minutes. I can find 50 extra dollars in my budget. Okay, it's all math. We just put it in there, 380. What will an extra $50 do? Now remember, we were going to be paying how much in interest? I said that because I didn't memorize it. I think it was $8,900, right? Yeah, $8,900 in interest. Let's calculate. Scroll down, and we'll see. Now, by just paying an extra $50, it takes it down to 52 months and $6,200. Right now it says euros, but it'll work for dollars too. You can fix that on your computer. I thought we fixed it earlier, but it didn't. $6,200, we're talking about, what, $2,700 in interest right there and shaving off at least a year or so. Okay, so then we go, okay, well, that's $50. Chances are I'll get a raise, or I'll be able to find more than $50 in my budget. Believe it or not, just the latte factor alone, you know, get rid of the Starbucks, will buy you more than $50 a month. We'll go up to $430. So it's $100 extra dollars appropriately put onto my credit cards, sticking to the plan, which it'll give you a graph for, and you can kind of track how much are these going down. We hit our calculate button. We'll just do this a couple more times so you can get a feel, and following along on your papers, you'll see we scroll down. Now it's only $4,800. We're at about 4 years, 3.5 years now. Without paying anything extra, we were looking at, was it over five? Now we're down to just over three. And then obviously the more we can put on this, and I put a couple more examples for you to see on your papers there, and you can kind of compare that obviously the more money you put down, $50, $100, even $200, that debt is going to disappear very quickly. The charts you can even print out and save, and you can follow along. When will this bill be gone? When will this bill be gone? Well, by June of 2009, this bill will be gone. And that's encouraging to somebody who feels like they're never going to get rid of this debt. Okay? There's two ways to look at your money, and I'm going to kind of close with this and lead into Clay, where he's going to help us find that $50 or $100 or $150. There's two places your money can go. If you're in debt, you're going to give it to the credit card company, right? A $5,000 credit card at just 18% can take nearly 20 years to pay off if you pay the minimum payment. I know because I've done the math and because I've watched it. I've watched a little old lady who mistakenly called me and said, I'm just going to pay you the minimum payment because I don't like you. My company, not me. I was very nice to her. Okay? I'm like, you think that hurts our company? You know, people just don't get that pay it off quicker and the company will actually be bummed because they won't make interest. So, easy question. Do you want to be paying these credit card companies to earn interest on your money, or do you want to get debt free and start saying, well, if I'm 25, okay, let's just take a pretty random number here, 25, that means I'm going to work for an extra at least 30 years, maybe even 35 if you're going to work till 60. If you only made $30,000 the rest of your life, never got a raise, and you took, let's say we did, which we're going to go over, you do your tithe, then you do your pay yourself 10%, okay, which roughly comes out to $200, $250 after taxes, okay? And if you got in that habit, it would be easy with no debt, wouldn't it? Because you're paying $330 on your debt, okay? $250 to yourself at just 8% for the next 35 years, you're talking well over $500,000 to yourself. Now, question, do you want the $500,000 or do you want Target, Lane Bryant, and all them to have it? Easy answer. So how do we find that extra money? Clay's going to help us find it right now, okay?
All right, if I can, my name's Clay Blanton. Been doing financial advising for about 7 years, and just want to let everyone know, no matter what your situation is in, there's other people like you. So do not feel bad. Don't feel embarrassed. Doesn't matter whether you have $500 in debt or $200,000 in credit card debt. Everyone, unfortunately, has had some type of issues with debt at some point in time. So Nora, the next question is, well, how do I find the money? How do I get it? And before we do that, there's a little piece of paper on there that says, I can't. If everyone can pull that out, and if you're listening on podcast, you should be able to download that and be able to see this form as well. I just want to go through this because it's interesting, because here are the standard responses, and you can look at your own self and see if you've ever said this before. Somebody's age 21 to 30. Well, I can't save now. I'm just getting started in life. Well, I don't make a lot yet, and I'm entitled to a little fun while I'm young. There's plenty of time. Wait until I start making a little more, then I'll save. Somebody who's in their 30 to 45 range. Well, I can't say now. I've got a growing family on my hands. Children and a house cost a lot of money. It takes all I have to keep them going. As soon as they're a little older, it'll cost less. Then I'll save. Age 45 to 55. Some of you, I already see some heads nodding. Go, oh, yeah, I've used that one. Age 45 to 55. Well, I can't save now. I've got two children in college. It's all I can do to pay their expenses. In fact, I had to borrow for their tuition last fall. This is the most expensive period in a person's life. I can't save a penny. Age 55 to 65. Well, I can't save now. I know I should. But things aren't breaking out like they did. It's not easy for a person my age to step out and get a better job. I'll have to ride along where I am. Maybe something will break. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to retire. They're age 65. Well, I can't save now. We're living with my son and his wife. My check from Social Security doesn't go very far. I wish I had started saving 20 years ago. But it's too late now. You can't save when there's no income. You guys, everyone will all have their own reasons why you either will make the choice to take control of your finances or to always have the excuses and reasons why you can't. All right, enough of the downer. Congratulations, that $500,000 that Nick was talking about, you guys all just won. It was like a lottery. You just got it. $500,000. And I deal with investments all day long. I've got a great investment for you. And we'll see if any of you guys want to invest in this. It's a company. I was looking over all their potentials and what they do, and they've got a lot of potential out there. They have just a couple little issues. The first one is they have some regular unexpected expenses. Well, that sounds kind of goofy. You know, about every 3 or 4 months, they get this big expense, and they go, oh, I didn't know I was going to have to pay that. And they've got to borrow against some capital and do some different things, and they go ahead and pay it, and boy, that was tough to get, you know, keep saving when that happens. But they've got a lot of potential. The other issue is you look at their financial statement. That just says, well, where's the money coming in? Where's it going out? And the money that's going out looks good, but there's about 20%. There's a big question mark next to it. Well, where's that going? And they go, well, you know, I don't know. No one's stealing, none's happening, but I don't know. But, you know, we're okay. And the third issue they have is, you know, we're all getting ready for the tax time. Well, they always delay doing their taxes, and they file an extension, and which doesn't really help your tax situation. You still owe the money. How many of you? But they got a lot of potential, guys. So all of you, you just won $500,000. How many of you guys want to invest in that company? Nobody? But they got, oh. Anybody know which company I'm talking about? That is the average person right there. How many of you have ever, you know, go, okay, well, I'm going to start saving as soon as I get rid of this one expense because, you know, the transmission went on the car. Oh, I need to go replace the furnace in the house. All those things, that's life. And so when you're doing budgeting, you got to plan for it. So first off, I want to be, you know, give you guys all a little applause. Come on, give yourself applause. That was the first step of being a good steward of your money. And that is, don't pick some really risky investments that you don't know anything to do about. Because in the Bible it says, the love of money is the root of all evil. But it also says to be a good steward of money. So money in itself is not evil. To lust after it and love it is. So how do we become good stewards of our money? Well, one of the first things that we have to do is we have to know, where's our money going? That 20% that's unaccounted for, we got to figure out where the heck it is. What happened to it? And so when you're going to see all different types, and you may have seen these before where you've read, oh, well, so much money should go to this category, and you spend so much on dining and so much on entertainment. Everyone's a little different. And the first thing you have to do is figure out, well, where is all that money? So that's what we're going to look at today, is we're going to give you guys some tools to figure out where is my outflow going? Because then you're going to be able to be educated and have the power to be able to see, do I have that extra $50 or $100 back here? The extra $50 or $100 to pay off the debt? Or do I have that to be able to start saving? Or if you haven't been tithing or haven't been doing other things, hey, now we can go ahead and find that money to be able to do what you've been wanting to do in your heart. Hey, Josh, where's Josh at? Sorry, I'm not very computer savvy. I've never used a Mac, so he gets to play with mine. All right. Now, when everyone leaves here today, there's a little info card. If everyone can fill that out, and most importantly, put your email address. What we're going to do is we're going to email everyone a little Excel spreadsheet. How many of you? I don't know if I'm in some people's way. How many of you here have ever tracked your expenses before, in some way or form? How long, and I'm going to start asking around here, how long have you guys tracked it for? What type of programs do you use? Do you just do it on a piece of paper? Okay. Quicken?
Like Excel.
Quicken, Excel? Quicken is great. If you're on Quicken, I've been on Quicken for about 12, 13 years now. I think one of the first users of the sucker. I love it. And you know, that's a great program in order to track it. And when you, if you get to the point where you want to become a Quicken user, we can help you out with that. But in the meantime, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of diligence in order to do that. And so what we're going to ask everyone to do is, if you're serious about trying to find out where your expenses are, track your expenses for 1 month. That's it, for 30 days. And we're going to try to give you the tools to make it as easy and as possible for you. On this Excel spreadsheet, on the very bottom, there's going to be four different tabs. I don't know how often people use Excel. If you're on Quicken, you're already tracking on Quicken. So if you don't have Quicken, this would give you a tool. On the bottom of it, in each one of this cash flow worksheet with four pages stapled to it, these are the four different sections on this Excel spreadsheet. On the very bottom left, there's a monthly total income. This one you'll put in any of your income that you make, net salary, wages, and or tips. And yes, this is net salary. It gets really complicated when we start looking at, well, let's look at all the different federal and state and SDI and everything else. So for right now, we're just trying to get a simplistic approach. If you have any business income, any taxable interest, non-taxable interest, these will all be good things to go ahead and plug in, but it's not as important as the expenses, which is the sheet number two. On sheet number two, oh my gosh, this thing is a huge grid. It's going to look really confusing and daunting on here. That's why you don't want to fill it out on the actual piece of paper, but you will want to go ahead and put it on the Excel spreadsheet. This Excel spreadsheet is tied to other worksheets on the bottom, and so all you have to do is input it on the cash flow worksheet. On the very top, you're going to notice there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up to 30 days. That's your 30 days to start tracking it. You can start tracking any day that you want. So today is the 8th, 9th. Today's the 9th. So if you want to go home, start this right away. Just start on the 9th. Go all the way through up until the 8th again. And then you'll have one full month of expenses. And now on the right-hand side, actually, I'm sorry, on the left-hand side, you'll see all different categories. We put in probably the most common categories that we were aware of on here. So this is going to be a little restrictive. If you're on Quicken, then obviously you can set up your own categories and make up whatever budgets that you like and whatever categories. On the third worksheet, what this is going to do, and this is going to be the powerful one for your information. And on the very top part of it, in big red letters, says, warning, do not put any numbers into this spreadsheet. This is going to bring over all of your daily numbers and calculate on how much you spent in those categories per month. That's going to be the good one. That's the one that's going to be very informative and very enlightening for people. So many times I've had people do this before, and they're shocked on how much they spend in certain categories and how little they, that's a lot cheaper than I thought it was. Not nearly as expensive. On the fourth sheet and the final one, what it will do is it will now go ahead and, it's really simple. It's going to take all your monthly income from the first sheet and all your monthly expenses on the third sheet and tell you, hey, how much do I have left over? Or do I have a negative? If I have a negative, well, that's where we're in trouble. Big time trouble, because now what we're doing is we're compounding that debt, or you're going to be very quickly getting into debt. This doesn't matter if you make $10,000 a year or $10 million. If you spend a dollar more than you make, you are going deeper into debt. So you can't have that happen. What we're going to be doing right now is we're going to take about 10 minutes. And so if you're listening on the podcast, what you want to do is take that third sheet and print that out if you're listening online right now, just so you have a hard copy that you can write on. Everyone here, what we're going to do is we're going to all break out with all the other finance team members, and we're going to have everyone put down what you think your monthly expenses are on all of these worksheets. This is not shared with everyone else here in this room. This is only for yourself. But once again, knowledge is power. Don't be ashamed of it. Go ahead and just be as truthful as you can. And the only thing, other than the Quicken people, I'll probably bet is everyone's going to be wrong, and that's okay, because we're all just kind of learning and trying to figure it all out. Then what we can do is we're going to take those sheets, do that, and then track your actual expenses for 30 days. Then compare them. See how close you were. So if you're online, go ahead and do that now.